thing. You know, there's nothing more important here at Rescue. I was asked recently, you know, John, with the troubles you folks have gone through with the flooding next door, can you afford to have this big conference you're having in July? And my response was this. We have one responsibility here. That's to preach God's word. To preach the gospel. There are no other churches out here like there are on the West Coast to have conferences. Brother Rick has an occasional visiting preacher. That's wonderful. And Brother Norm Wells, they do too. And Kevin Thacker down in San Diego. But there are no other conferences. After discussing with several preachers the importance of having a conference here in Rescue is right up there with preaching the gospel every Sunday. This gives people around the state of California, I know we've been slack over the last couple of years with COVID and everything, but maybe the Lord will open the doors and there'll be more people here this year. Either way, that's our responsibility. Everything else comes second. This place could burn to the ground and we would still worship our Lord and Savior out here on the front lawn next Sunday. That's what's important. That's what this is about. Worshiping our Lord. Putting away the world for just a moment. Coming out of the world and being allowed to worship our Creator, our Savior, without interference. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 5. In our last service, last Sunday, we considered the nature of man in the leprosy that is spoken of in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. We also considered our condition pictured in the man with palsy. You remember there was a man who was let down from the roof. He couldn't get in through the door. People were just cramming into the building, where the room where the Lord was healing people, and he couldn't get in, so his friends let him down through the door. How a picture that is of God's people, the destitute that is within us, the inability for us to do anything for ourselves. God has to do it. Salvation is of the Lord. I am the Alpha and the Omega, he says. I am the beginning and the ending of your faith, he says. The author of your faith. Look with me, if you would, again, at verse 17 through 26 of Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, speaking of our Lord, that there were Pharisees and doctors. Now that's the false religionists, those who will raise up and persecute and our Lord and doctors and the law of the law, sitting by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, a man brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, that's paralyzed, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Our Lord, in plain words, where everybody could hear, all these people that we just listed here, all the people that were crammed into their room, Man, thy sins are forgiven. He didn't speak in secret, did he? He spoke openly. All those of the world sat right there in that room and heard him. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. That means they began to question, who is this guy? Who do you think you are? Saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto him, them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know. That's the title of this morning's message. That ye might know, may know, that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick and the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Who is the Lord speaking to here? Who's the Lord speaking to? I know the Lord's, he's listed several people here, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law from Judea and Jerusalem and all around, but there's all kinds of other folks there too. There's a bunch of people. Who are the ones that he's speaking to? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power. Who are these holy scriptures written to that you and I hold in our hands? Are they written to the world? Are the truths of God's word revealed unto all of mankind? I'm sorry to say to you this morning, folks. No, I'm not sorry. This is the wisdom of God. There are some who are listening to this right now who may not have any idea of what God's word says in their heart. Oh, they hear me reading the word of God. They hear others reading the word of God, but do they actually hear with the ears of the heart? Do they hear from here? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Everything in God's word points his people to his Son and the grace in him sacrificing himself as the substitute for those he has loved with an eternal love, an everlasting love. Folks, I got some news for you. Those of you who may think differently, God is not obligated to love you. Wait a minute, John. God loves everything he created, really? Is that according to his word? Does he love everything that he created? He's not obligated because he created you, for all creation was cursed by the sin of man. Listen to these words from Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. That's what the Lord told Adam. Everything you walk on, everything created in creation is cursed because of what Adam did. Folks, this is all going to burn up. In the glory of our Savior, when he returns, when he comes back from heaven, everything is going to be burned up. There'll be a new earth and new heavens for his people. The world does not like to hear this, but this is the truth in Romans 9, verses 13 through 16. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The word of God is a two-edged sword. To those loved of God, it is the word unto salvation. To the rest of the world, God's word is of condemnation. Are you with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken. Don't get so upset with what you see about in the world, that ye be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called. What Paul is describing here to these Thessalonians, you and I can see this very day. The falling away of the truth in God's word. Men have taken the word of God and made it lasciviousness. That means made it wicked. They've made it to fit their own desires. That's what this free willism is all about. Would you make a decision for Jesus? He's done everything he can. Now it's up to you. It's taking God's word. Because he just said, as I read in Romans 9, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. That's what Paul's expressing here. The very thing that's going on in the so-called Christian community around you and I. Those who opposes and exalteth themselves above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, God himself, sitteth in the temple of God, showing him, or that he, the man instead of God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul had been telling the Christian churches all around this was going to happen. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. These things were going on then, just as they are going on in the world around you and I. This is nothing new. Oh, this is the coming of Christ. Look at how the Christian churches have turned away from God. Don't fall for that. There was a man by the name of Harold Camping who tried to convince everybody the end of the world was here. He was a false prophet. You know why? Because it didn't happen. Only God knows when the return of Christ will be. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let it until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. What? God would do that to mankind? I'd rather put it this way. What? God would save any of mankind? We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It's because we know we deserve exactly this that our Lord is talking about right here, don't we? Many of us walked in these very same shoes. I could listen to Mike Levis tell me his testimony over and over and over again. It's such a beautiful testimony of how God saved him from himself. From his self-righteous self. Because that's the story of every one of us. Some of us weren't in some kind of other religion, but we had a religion of our own, didn't we? And for this cause, because they had no love of the truth, because you and I at one time had no love of the truth, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The Lord of all glory tells some unbelieving Jews, you hear not, because you're not my sheep. That's over in John chapter 10. We've read those verses many a times. He also says right after he says that to those unbelieving Jews, he says this. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Who's God talking to in these scriptures a moment ago? Who is our Lord talking to back here in Luke where we were a moment ago in verse 24? But that ye may know. He's speaking verbally. A lot of people are hearing with these ears right here. But who's he talking to? He's talking to you and I today. But that you might know that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ the Lord, hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Do you need forgiving? Do you need forgiving? Have you sinned against God? Oh, I know, I told a little lie the other day. I told Mom and Dad I didn't put my hands in that cookie jar. That was my brother. It's just a little lie. Have you sinned against God? Have you said to yourself, that can't be true? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Have you said to yourself, that can't be true? God loves everything. He has to love everything. Have you sinned against God? The Word of God is written for you and I, for His elect. It's a love letter. That's what it is. That's a letter to us, to those that He's loved from before the world was. He's loved you. Everything created was so that you would be right here this day. Everything that has happened, God has purposed. The creator of everything. Don't sit here and think about a God who's done something and left something else up to others. Our God has done it all. He's ruler of everything. And everything created was for that His people would be exactly where they are in time. When He speaks of all the world, He's speaking of all of His people throughout of all time. Not all of mankind. If He was speaking about all of mankind, nobody would go to hell. That's the power of our God. That's what it's talking about. This is what He's telling you and I right here. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He's got all power. I need to hear that all the time. John Reeves is constantly trying to get up and say, I can do this on my own. No, I can't. And he lets me stumble for that very reason. So I'll get all the way down on my knees and say, I can't. Lord, help me. This is a love letter. This is a love letter from God to us. In the flesh, we are not pretty before God. We are vile. The sin that covers us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes, He can't even look upon it. Yet He made His Son our sin, so that He can look at us and we can be the pearl of His eye. My bride. Did you know you're the bride of the groom? We're the bride of Christ, God's people, and He loves us. The whole picture of Isaac. You remember the story, Abraham sent off a servant to go into another country and find a bride for his son, Isaac. And the guy, the servant, went off to the other country. What did he do? He told her, my master has all of these things. He has everything. He's rich beyond your wildest of dreams. I'm telling you right now, Christ is rich beyond everything. He has everything in His hand. And He loves you. Is there anything He wouldn't give for you? As God, as creator of everything, is there anything our Lord would not give us? Oh, I pray the Lord will bring you to understand that. To see the depth that He has gone for you in saving in saving you and delivering you out of the hands of the devil by laying down his life and paying for our sins with his own blood. Our Lord comes to us through the preaching of his gospel, as we've read many times. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? Can you remember before the Lord opened the truths of his word, the truths of scripture to you? Did your heart not burn after God's word when you saw the truth? Our Lord says to you and I, over and over and over again, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the sick and the palsy, to you and I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Our Lord spoke verbally to everyone in that room. Many heard his words, yet few believed with the heart. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews 4, we read these words. Paul, in warning the church, beloved of God, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us from entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now wait a minute, John, you're telling me that you can't come short of it if you belong to God. That's absolutely correct. But if I don't stand here today and tell you that some of you who hear these words may come short of it, your blood will be on my hands. If you belong to God, you will not come short of it, because Christ has fulfilled everything for us. But if you're in a room full of people today hearing the truth of God's word, just as there were those that day, and you're not hearing from the heart, you can come up real short. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Folks, most of the Israelites who left Egypt with Moses died in the wilderness before they came to the land of promise. They did not enter in because of unbelief. They did not believe God. They did not trust his promises. They did not have faith in his power. They did not trust his providence. This example is given by Paul to show the evil nature and unbelief, and to warn us who profess faith in Christ. In Hebrews 3:12, you don't need to turn there, allow me to quote it for you. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. These are not easy words to hear, are they? Are you questioning my faith, John? Yes. I'm questioning mine right along with it. I got a finger going like this. Yes. But there are three fingers pointing right back at me. This is what we should be doing. Am I truly in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ according to his word? What did we just read there in Hebrews 1? We read, let us therefore fear. Now, this is not a fear that the grace, goodness, and righteousness of Christ shall fail or desert us. No, but it is a cautious fear. It's a watchfulness over our own faith. That's what we're talking about when we read the scriptures of 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, I got to remind you, I say this every time I read this scripture, that doesn't mean that you look at somebody else and say, I don't know if you're faith or not, because none of us do. Your own self. Examine your own heart. Do I truly believe Christ is God Almighty? 2 Peter 1, verse 10, we read this, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That means to keep at it. That means to keep after it, to be concerned, to make your calling and election sure. The promise of rest, which we each of us have in Christ, it's twofold. And let me give that to you, if you would. There's a present rest that we have in Christ. And we can get that, we understand that through the readings of Matthew 11:28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Are you coming unto Christ? Are you coming unto Christ, or is there something you must do to help him? Or are you coming unto him alone? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Hebrews 10, we have this rest in Christ, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore. That's a word, labor, that means to exercise, that means to work at it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall under the same example of unbelief. Folks, we are free from the bondage of fear, from the yoke of ceremonialism, from the work of works. We rest in his love. That's our confidence. We have no confidence in this flesh. We have confidence in him, in what he's done. And there is also a future eternal rest in heaven, when we enter that land where we will be eternally free from temptation, eternally free from doubt, from fear, and from sin. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21, if you would. Revelation 21. We'll just be another moment. Revelation 21. I want to read 5 verses there, if you would, please. This is our rest that we will have. This rest of being plagued by the flesh. Look at verses 1 through 5 of Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words. Write, for these words are true and faithful. With so much at stake, we should be wholeheartedly dedicated to seeking the Lord and saving faith. What does that mean? Do you seek the Lord in his saving faith every day? Is this afternoon going to be just another one of the afternoons? The worshiping of God is over. I've done that today. Church is gone. Now it's time for me to get back to my real life. for you from Philippians. In Philippians 3, we read verses 8 through 11, "Yea, doubtless, and I call it all things loss." This is Paul speaking about his testimony of all the knowledge that he had of the Jewish religion, all of the studying of what they thought with their minds, that knowing the Word of God, yet he knew nothing. And that's what he's telling us here. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss, and for Christ's sake. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." This is the Lord Jesus pressing himself on his subject's heart, expressing to him, "I am your all in all. The loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." We also read there in Hebrews, the gospel of Christ was being preached to us. The gospel of grace, not of works. The gospel of God's Son, his deity, his perfect obedience, his substitutionary atonement, his resurrection, his intercession. How that in Christ the law of God was honored. The justice of God was satisfied. But this gospel that you hear here this day was preached to them also by types and promises, sacrifice and example. And it did them no good. It did not save them nor profit them, because they did not believe God. In Romans 4, verses 20 through 25, you can read about Abraham. Why was he accounted for righteousness? Because he believed God. He believed that the just shall live by faith. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. The Lord tells us in our scripture, in the subject this morning, that ye may know. I ask you this morning, do you know? Do you believe? Has he made himself your uttermost? Do you believe who he says he is? He doesn't say, "I'm a God." He says, "I am God." That means he rules over everything. Do you believe what he says he has done? He says, "I have saved my people to the uttermost." Do you believe where he is right now, risen and doing what he has said he will do? "I'm making intercession for you as you sin this moment, as sinful thoughts go through your mind. This day, our Lord is making intercession for us." If you do, then the grace of God is upon you. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, we read these familiar words, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God." You know, I could preach on those two words every Sunday and it wouldn't bother me one bit. "But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places." "And raised us up to sit together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest man should boast." Folks, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the true faith. And if you are, you can join us. I know we have a closing hymn, but I'm going to pass that by because I know a brother who needs to get out of here as quick as possible, and I want to make this available to them.